I invite you to remain standing for the reading of God's Word. It comes this morning from the Gospel according to John, and I'm reading chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you for this morning. It is a great and glorious day that we are able to be together, be in this place, to hear your story, to sing your praise, to bring our lives to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. My mama came into town to help us with the children as Carol and I took a little trip and to attend some church meetings. My mama, on Thursday night, she had brought in food for dinner, and there were strawberries for dessert. And though really strawberries and this cake is not on my lifestyle plan, I still had it. My mama served it, and I had it. All right. Wouldn't want mama to feel bad, right? I love strawberries. Do you love strawberries? I remember, Daddy Paul didn't plant strawberries every year, but I remember the years that he did, right? You can remember. Daddy Paul would have to work the dirt in a particular kind of way. It takes a certain kind of dirt to grow strawberries, which meant a wheelbarrow had to go all the way to the barn and to the horse troughs and would make its way all the way down to the front of the house, around to the side to where the garden was to work the soil. Daddy Paul would plant those strawberry plants right at the edge of the garden. I could remember that I could stand on the very edge of the garden in the grass and reach over to pick up strawberries. I didn't even have to get in the Benton County red clay dirt, you know, this soil that if you get it on your shoes, it doesn't come off. I mean, it's strong stuff. And I remember we would take our strawberries up to the house, and they were already sweet, but we would add sugar on them just for extra measure. We didn't know what we were doing then, right? Just adding the sugar to these sweet strawberries. They were so good. They were real. They were real. Now, as an adult, very rarely do I get fresh strawberries, though there is a strawberry festival coming up in Sumner County, right? Nod your head if it's on your radar screen. All right. I can't tell at home, so you need to look it up in Portland, Strawberry Festival. You drive into Portland, they've got this big fake strawberry right there on the side of the road. Doesn't taste like anything. Don't try. All right. It's just art. You know, in my life, though, most of the strawberries don't have a taste that I can get today. Have you bought the strawberries that are all white on the inside? They're not real, right? That isn't real. Or what about the ones that you buy frozen? I mean, they are beautiful, and they're delicious in a shake and a smoothie, and which the right kind of smoothie is a little bit healthier than what I normally do. But they still don't have the right taste. They don't have the right thing. And then back in the days when I would eat cereal, all right, there was a cereal that had, it said Special K with red berries. It didn't even say strawberries, but that's what it's supposed to be. And all these red berries were dehydrated. And somehow that when you put it in the milk, it came back to life. And, oh, trust me, you don't want those red berries, right? I mean, really, it's not real. But the real thing, the real strawberry, this kind that you don't need sugar or that saucy glaze, like, as a kid after church, I was shaped by going to Shoney's after church at night. And you walked into Shoney's. You remember seeing that in the display case, that strawberry pie with all that glaze on it? You know, real strawberries don't really even need that. I mean, they're just delicious because God made them delicious. Jesus, in talking about his relationship with the Father and talking about what it is to be with God, and John tells us the story about Jesus, and Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. I love that image. He doesn't say, I am the true vine and my Father's the dump truck. He doesn't say, my Father is the executioner. He says, my Father is the gardener. Just think about all the work that goes into growing a garden. Just think about all the work that it takes to make a garden happen. And Jesus says, that's the kind of work that my Father is into. And not only is my Father into that kind of work, of working the ground and working the plants and pulling out the weeds and keeping the bugs out of the plants, that kind of work that the Father is doing, I am the true vine. This was before Charlie, we took Max to go pick strawberries, and we didn't really get any instruction. I guess they're used to people like us who don't know what they're doing coming in. And, you know, you go picking the strawberries. But let me give you a word of advice. If you can pick the strawberries that are the closest to the largest green part of the vein of the plant as possible, those strawberries will be juicier. They will be better than the plants and the strawberries that you find off the runners or off to the side. Right? You want to stay as close to the heart of the plant as possible, and those strawberries will be better than the strawberries you find at the end of the runners. That's where all the nutrition is at the heart of the plant. The closer you get to the true vine, the closer you will get to the best strawberries. And in this Gospel of John chapter 15, Jesus is comparing life with the Father. Life with him is like life to the true vine. That's good stuff. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And then in verse 2 and verse 3, we begin to hear these words. My Father, he cuts back every branch that does not bear fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it can bear even more fruit. By the way, John 15 verses 1 through 8, if you ever want a challenge in memorizing a text, this is the one you want to go for. It is not easy. The way that John writes these words that are interloping and interwoven together to tell this story about the Father, and these almost like in the way the language is written, it's a vine upon itself with the very words that are wrapped around who Jesus is, so that when you begin to study these verses, you are going into the garden and you begin to peel back the leaves to see, all right, what is this saying to me? I once heard someone say that to be cut off and be pruned back hurts the same. I think that's true. This Father that's a gardener, he goes to us, and anything that's in us that's not producing fruit, he cuts off. Judy Jones helped me out with this vine, and I'm going to cut off this right here. This blossom's not doing too well, all right? And so there's no fruit on the end of this. This blossom is coming to the end of its time. And Jesus says that the Father, the gardener, comes to us, and if there's any one of us who's not producing fruit, we get cut off. But every one of us that is producing fruit, that he still comes to us and begins to cut and to prune. And it hurts when God begins to prune. It means that when you feel that thing on the inside where something's not feeling right about the way you're living life, maybe it's the whisper of the Holy Spirit where you just read something in the Bible and then you start thinking about, well, I'm doing this in my life. I wonder if it's okay that Jesus is always working on us to prune us back. Not just that we get cut off, but to prune back the parts of our life that don't belong. I've been working at trying to cut back some of the calories I've been eating, right? That would be healthier. I'd be happier. I'd feel better. In our lives and in our spirit, there are all kinds of things that crowd in, that get in the way of God. And Jesus is working with the Father, who's the gardener, to cut those things back. Now, I want to tell you, so you see this blossom here. And let me also say this word. I thought this was a neat word. I think in the church, we get our blossoms and our fruit mixed up, all right? This is the blossom. It's not the fruit. And it really is amazing how long you can cut a blossom and it lasts. How many, you know, have you seen those roses that just last? I saw an advertisement for a rose that lasts a year. Have you seen that? I'm not buying that. I don't know what's in that, but that can't be right. That can't be good, right? And what's amazing is even if we have known who Jesus is, we've known who God is, but then all that we are operating in is in a blossom of some story of the past, but we're empty on the inside and we get cut off. It takes a while to be able to tell, well, there's no fruit. This little part of green stuff right here that's left of this vine, it is never going to produce another blossom again. It's not going to produce fruit. This thing is now, after being cut off, dead in my hands. But you got to, the sermon's not over, so there's a word of grace in this. If you got to hold on for the word of grace, all right? And then in verse 3, Jesus goes on to say, but I have already cleaned you by my word. This word clean and prune is really the same word. It's derived from the same place that in the words of Jesus, that those were words that are pruning and those are words of cleaning. John 15 happens in the final discourse. These are the last stories of Jesus around the table. This is the Last Supper. This is Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And in this last discourse, this is something that is important to Jesus. This is a metaphor that he wants you to understand about the Father as the gardener, about him being the true vine. And that if you listen to the words of Jesus and you apply those to your life, that those words will cleanse you. They will prune back the stuff that doesn't belong. That's a word of grace. How do you have to figure it out? You got to start listening to God. You got to be reading the Bible. You have to make space for God to be speaking into your life. In verse 4 and 5, we hear these words, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must stay connected to the vine. All right, so this cannot bear fruit anymore. Neither can you bear fruit if you're cut off. One of my parsonages in Crossville, out in the front yard, was a dogwood tree. And some gifted gardener, someone that knew what they were doing, had grafted in two different dogwood trees so that one side was this beautiful white and the other was this beautiful purple. All together, this beautifully engrafted tree. Even if you have been cut off, even if you cut yourself off from God, God is the good gardener who knows what God is doing and can engraft us back into the true vine. But there's a word of caution I also want to offer too, is that God's not the only one trying to graft. God is working to try to graft us back into his love. Your presence here today and those online, you're here as a way of trying to say, there's something within us that needs God, that is looking for God. There's something in us that's looking for the community. That not only is this a word about not surviving on our own, away from God, but also from each other. We're told that you can't bear fruit by yourself. That's what Jesus is saying. Not only we can't bear fruit when we're absent from God, but we can't bear fruit if we're absent from each other. And there's never been another season in the life of the church quite like this season right now that is crucial. That we get together and start allowing the Holy Spirit to graft us back together before this has gone too long. And it dies in our homes and it dies in self-isolation. Church, you know the people that are missing, you don't use guilt, all right? So guilt doesn't work, all right? It doesn't work for the long term. But if you will use love and you will begin to call your brothers and sisters who are missing, you begin to express love not because you want your church to be bigger, but because you want the kingdom to be alive in your heart and the hearts of our brothers and sisters who aren't here with the gift of love. That's the miracle grow of the kingdom of God is love. And allow Christ to use you and love one another as we get brought back in. Because verse 5 tells us, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't produce fruit. You can't produce blossoms. You're not going to be fruitful, successful, faithful in your life without Jesus. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away, it withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Man, those are hard words, aren't they? They're the words of Jesus, the hard words. Last week, some of you noticed that Carol was wearing a boot. She had likely a hairline fracture in her foot, and after a week of just kind of suffering through it, she's really thankful to have had the boot because it really, within a day or two, it took away the pain. So she just had to wear this as a way of supporting her foot so it could heal and come back together. As a part of this, she had to go and have some x-rays done. And my children just loved the idea of x-rays. It wasn't that long ago. Max was sitting over here on the front pew, and he had had one of my notepads, and he was drawing out pictures. And there was one picture that he had drawn out, and he would just kind of, he was sitting beside Carol, he'd just lift that up and wave it to the people behind him and bring it down, and lift it up and bring it back down. And this was going on during the service, and the folks behind him were just having the hardest time keeping it together. And finally, at the end, Carol realized what was happening, and he said, "Oh, I just showed him my x-ray." And he had drawn this picture with the eyes X'd out and all the bones. It was a very frightening picture, all right? He was just showing him his x-ray, he said. Charlie, hearing this story about Carol having an x-ray done of her foot, so Charlie at the table was asking that on the CD that they gave her, if we could look at it, and would we be able to see Jesus on her heart waving back at us on that x-ray? And I had to tell Charlie, you know, x-rays take a picture of what's physically on the inside, but Jesus can't be captured by an x-ray. Jesus is our spirit, and he is in mama's heart waving back as he is in your heart, as he is in your heart. You know, we wouldn't make it very far if we didn't have our bones on the inside, right? We're not going to make it very far if we don't have Jesus, if we're not linked in with Jesus. And we might as well be gathered up, thrown away, thrown into the fire, because without Jesus, we're just a mess. If you take our bones out of us, we are just a mess. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, verse 7, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I think this is one of those passages of the Bible that for those who have been in the church for a lifetime or have been studying the Word, you're likely going to be at a place where you really wonder, is this statement true? Is this statement true? How many times have we prayed for something to happen and it's not happened? Dr. Carolyn Moore, yesterday in a talk that she offered, she was talking about this person who made this statement that that God is doing 10,000 things in our life all at once, and we're about aware of about 3 of them, all right? That God is always doing about 10,000 different things, and we're aware of about 3 of them. to a room filled with a lot of preachers, she said, "And how many times have we been caught praying that the sound system works?" Which I've prayed that and prayed for Dave, and I've also prayed for our copier too on a Friday when we're trying to make bulletins. Lord Jesus, make this copier work. Which is so small when you think about what God is really doing. If there is anything that I hope that you leave with today, is a sense of remain in me, Jesus. In verse 4, this remain in me and I in you. And that when you remain in Jesus, you begin to show fruit, much fruit, it says. What I'm really doing is I'm trying to preach to you today that all of us would remain in Jesus. The other word for that is abide with Jesus, live with Jesus, remain in Jesus. And that when you are living, when you are abiding, when you remain in Jesus, then whatever you ask will be done. Now, I've got this illustration to make this point, and thank you, Lord, for bringing this to my attention. So strawberries make strawberry plants, right? And they do produce a lot of fruit. So on the front of the bulletin, there's a little strawberry plant there. They have blossoms, but that's not the fruit. It's the strawberry. Strawberries are the only fruit that carry their seeds on the outside. And every strawberry has more than 200 seeds on the outside. And at the end of one of the branches that of a strawberry plant, you can have like 4 or 5 strawberries at the end of that one branch. And just think about the multiplication. One strawberry, 200 seeds, 5 strawberries, 1,000 seeds. You know, that's the kind of kingdom multiplication that we're talking about. And that when you remain and abide with him, that you're going to make strawberries. Now listen to this, church. I also like blackberries too. You got to watch out for snakes and ticks in blackberry bushes, though, in Benton County. But I like... You know, those didn't grow in the garden. They grew up on a fence row somewhere. But no matter how hard a strawberry plant wants to make blackberries, it doesn't work that way, right? You're not going to find strawberries on a blackberry plant or vine, and you're not going to find blackberries on a strawberry plant. The thing I want you to get about that is that if we wake up every day trying to be blackberries when God has made us to be strawberries, we're not going to feel very fulfilled. We're going to be very agitated. We're going to be frustrated at God. Matter of fact, we might even begin to complain against God because we keep praying for all the qualities and traits of blackberries when really we're just not being who God called us to be yet. We're missing it. It's like all the 9,997 other ways that God is trying to move in our life, and yet we're focused on the 3 that sometimes can seem pretty small when you talk about the kingdom. What I hear Jesus telling us is that if you are in Christ, and the words and the life and the Spirit of Christ is living in you, and it is so full that all you can do is talk about Jesus. All you can do is live for Jesus, not just in church on Sunday morning, but you're just full of the fruit of the fruit of God. Not the blossoms now, but the fruit. That when you live that kind of way, in verse 8 it says, "This is to my Father's glory." This is not for our glory, it is for my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Note, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When you're so full of the fruit of Jesus, Jesus isn't having to go out and tell other people that you're a follower. Your fruit, your life shows it. Now, there have been a lot of times in my life when my life has resembled a lot more of this withered blossom cut off from the vine. I want to tell you, that's just the truth. There have been times in my life I've looked more like this, and I felt like, well, there's no hope, there's no going back. And if you're here today and that's sort of where you are, I want to tell you there is a word of hope and a word of grace. that is not the end of the story, because Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And if you ever want to have hope in someone who can put you back on the vine and make it work, someone who can put you back on the vine so you can have fresh blossoms, so you can have fresh fruit, and not the dehydrated stuff that gets stuck in your teeth, but the real stuff, right? To be real disciples. If you want to be challenged that your life, that it would show the light of Christ and that you would have the strength to endure the challenges that come with being a human being in 2021. Is that really the year, right? It seems like we're missing some time, right? It is about being connected to God, connected to Christ. I would hope also at the end of this word today, years ago when we would start church, we'd pass the peace. You remember that? We'd shake hands and we wouldn't think anything about it. And no matter if I said it the week before or not, I always got a fresh laugh when I invited you to tell each other that you're looking better, right? You know, somehow there's something funny about that when you go to people you hadn't seen. You say, you're looking better. You might be lying, but you're telling it because you're hopeful that you'll hear the same thing, right? Wouldn't it be something that we could look at each other from the moment that we started this message together and at the end, and we would be able to say, you're looking better, and it not be because of the way we look on the outside, but because we've heard the living word of God, and already, like the disciples, Jesus has already began to prune. Jesus is already beginning to clean. You had a thought in the middle of the sermon saying, you know, Jesus is speaking to me in this area of my life. This is one thing I can do to be more faithful. And in the hymn of invitation and all that will come in the celebration of Holy Communion, when we go not to strawberries or blackberries, but we go to bread and to the fruit of the vine, grapes and to wine, that would be a moment that together we would say, yes, Jesus, I am listening. And I am looking better because you are the gardener. Sing this with me. It's just very simple. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God is love. God is love. God is love. He's so good to me. Amen.